Welcome to the Startup Dentist Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Trutter. After over 800 plus successful dental startups, I'm here to share everything I know about starting a profitable and purposeful dental practice with you. In each episode, we get right to the core of what it takes to launch and grow a successful dental practice. So whether you've just started researching dental startups or you've been sitting on the fence for a while, this podcast is your personal roadmap to your very own dental practice. Let's get into it. All right. Welcome back. You know, as you go through this startup process, you're going to have a number of vendors that are going to be involved and that you'll need to have on a symbol as a part of your team. And whether that's obviously real estate, equipment, construction, there's just a number of people that you're going to have. And you got to make sure that these people are for you, that they're representing you. And I heard a story from Kyle on our team, Kyle Olding, a shout out to Kyle. He was talking about one of our clients and going through, he was helping navigate the real estate process. So if the real estate process sounds daunting, it is, folks. And one of the biggest decisions that you'll make in your professional career, besides becoming a dentist, is the real estate that you choose for your practice. It's a very important document, whether it's a lease or a purchase, one of the biggest decisions. And he was telling a story how he was guiding our clients and they were so thankful for the guidance because they felt like maybe their agent wasn't representing them in the best and good faith on a particular transaction. And how kind of behind the scenes, there was like the owner or something along these lines of saying to the agent, hey, I'll compensate you more if you increase the price of the real estate and things like that. And it's like, oh, I'm never here to bash people that are in our industry because I think there's a lot of great people that are out there. But I think it's always good as you get into this process or you're approaching this process to really understand what motivates those people. Are they there? So I talk about real estate in an episode. Check out real estate. Check out hiring the right people, the right transaction, making sure that it's not just about like, this is how we do this in this marketplace, and making sure that the vendors that you bring into your small circle for to help you in this journey become a proud and confident practice owner are truly representing you. So check that out. Today might be a bad word for some of you. It's called dental insurances. I am not an insurance expert by any means, but let me talk to you about today. I want to talk about insurance credentialing. I want to talk about like this process. It's embedded inside of like this, what needs to be done. Whether you're buying a practice or starting up one, you'll need to go through this process of what's called insurance credentialing. There's a lot of twists and turns, especially as you get into from a startup perspective, it can get very confusing. So grab your notebook, your iPad or whatever, and let's make this dream a living and breathing reality. So insurances. Okay, folks, there's insurance credentialing and there's negotiating. I kind of do those in two different, those are two different things. They're actually two different products or services. You have insurance credentialing, which is getting in network with insurances, your MPI, all those different things. And then you have the negotiating process. So insurance credentialing is something that if you're going to go, and I'll talk to you about decisions here to make, but credentialing is the process of having, whether you're doing it or you're hiring somebody to go through this process of getting involved and getting connected and getting in network with insurances. I'll just say this, have somebody do this for you. There's a lot of companies, this is not a plug for our services, but we have a great team, knows how to do this. And let me tell you the stories that I hear from them. And it's really important to have somebody because these companies are huge. Having somebody that has done this maybe hundreds of times is going to be so valuable to you, not only because they know how to do it, but also they know who's inside of the insurance companies, who to get to. These insurance companies are like these, they're just mammoth companies, and you'll need somebody to navigate those waters of like, okay, I know somebody. Our team has great people inside. I'm sure these companies, other companies out there that do this, insurance people that do credentialing as a living and do this as a service to our industry typically have that. And that's what you want to have is those connections inside of the insurance companies to make sure that the information is properly processed, that your information is correct, the location and things like that are all just everything is dialed in because there's so much paperwork. There's so much information that they need that you can navigate it. Hey there, Startup Dentist podcast listeners. It's Steven Trotter here, taking a quick break from today's episode to share something special with you. If you're dreaming of owning your own dental practice, then you need to get your hands on our Startup Dentist book. This isn't just any book. It's a 200 plus page comprehensive guide that covers everything you need to know to start a successful dental practice. From picking the perfect location to designing a patient-friendly office to building a marketing plan that draws in your ideal patients, we've got you covered. This book is packed with insider tips and real-world strategies. Negotiating. This is the act of actually negotiating with the insurance company. So can you negotiate as a startup? Sure, absolutely can. It depends on a lot of factors, like how many other providers are in the marketplace, what procedures. And again, like you can negotiate like parts of the insurance. You can negotiate parts of your fee schedule. It doesn't have to be like the entire thing. There are parts that you can actually negotiate different services depending on and different clinical services depending on the marketplace itself. So for those that say you can never negotiate, you can as a startup. Sometimes you may have more leverage a year or two down the road. It kind of depends on the insurance companies. Now there are some, I'll just say, and I'll leave them nameless, that really isn't negotiating. These are your fees. And annually, these are what your fees look like annually as they change. Some of the big companies, and I'll again leave them nameless, you probably know them out there, there isn't really negotiating. There just is, here's your fee schedule. You will have updates to this on an annual basis. So big thing when it comes to credentialing is timeline. It could take 3 to 6 months. Sometimes it takes longer depending on the company and how they go through this. So it's important to understand as you're going through a startup that you need to add this time in so that if you are going to be in network, that you can open up your doors and actually be in network. But when you want to start it? We always start it around the time you secure real estate because you actually need the physical address and things like that to go through that process to actually being in network or going through that process. It does take a lot of months. Information sometimes gets lost with insurance companies. That's why I always say have another set of eyes. Have somebody that's done this before hundreds of times to go through this process. Negotiating is kind of like the same thing. You're dealing with those same people, but time. So the big thing here is when it comes to credentialing or negotiating, I'll talk about really credentialing today, have somebody because they have somebody inside and give yourself enough time. If you're not in network and you're going to be in network, then guess what? What you'll need to do is make sure that you have a script. Make sure your team has a script of like, okay, how are we going to handle patients when they call and say, when they come in and they have an insurance that you're not maybe in network with yet, that you haven't had the credentialing process done, because you're going to have to handle those patients obviously differently. And sometimes that does happen. So make sure that you have somebody inside to be able to make that process very, very smooth and give yourself ample time. Insurances. Okay, decision time, folks. Are you in network? Are you out of network? Are you fee for service? Listen, I think a lot of people listening here will be like, I want to be fee for service. I don't want to deal with insurance companies. I don't want to go through that process. I want to give my patients a different experience that isn't restricted to what's in the box when it comes to the insurances that they accept. Well, guess what? It's not an easy decision. We have supported practices all over the country and varying degrees of these. A lot of our clients are in network. Some of them are fee for service. Some of them out of network. The difference between fee for service and out of network is really from a fee for service. This is just what it is. And you don't do any work behind the scenes as far as putting through the claims and things like that, as opposed to out of network where you are at least assisting with that, whether with the insurances, even though you're not accepting those fees from the insurances, you're navigating the waters with the patient to put through the claims and things like that through the insurance companies. Listen, there is, I'll use my bunny air quotes, you know, there is free marketing when it comes to being in network. Now, being in network, I'll just say this. I'm never an advocate for saying being in network with all insurances. I always say, look at your marketplace. Look at maybe what are the top 3 to 5, you know, like insurances what are in your marketplace and go and network with those if that seems to be the right fit for your practice. Understand your competition. and understand how patients are trained today. Unfortunately, the first question that they're going to ask when they call your office is this: are you in network with my insurance? So you need to be able to handle that question of yes, we are, or no, however, this is how we handle this. So you need to be able to set that apart. Listen, I have a lot of people that say, I want to give my patients a different experience when it comes to my practice. And so a lot of them say, that's why I want to be fee for service and out of network, because they feel like there is a restriction on that experience because of insurances. Totally get it. My question back to you is, if they don't come in, how can you create an experience? Think about that for a moment. Am I saying you should be a network? Nope, I'm not saying that. I'm saying there is some advantages to being in network by being able to simply answer that question very confidently. Say, yes, I'm in network. To be able to have some free marketing, if you say, by being in network. And I also think as a brand new startup, depending on your marketplace, again, this is also dependent upon your marketplace, there could be an advantage to being in network from day one. Does that mean you stay in network forever? Absolutely not. I could tell you a ton of success stories within our own clients of people. And I love when I see these posts on their Facebook page about today is the last day I'm in network with blank. Because over time, they realize that they can dwindle down. They look at, as their practices grow, that they can create that experience over time, create that trust with patients in their community so that they can drop those insurances and explain to those patients, here's why it's an advantage to you. Now, if you're going to be like out of network or fee for service, or even if you are in network, you're going to still have people that don't have insurances. So have a dental benefits plan. What is that? It could be, I like to use dental benefits plan as a term. It's a plan that says, maybe there's even a physical card that says, this is an annual amount. It could be X amount of dollars. This will cover your two cleanings, your x-rays a year, and a percentage off any other clinical needs. You should have that anyhow. That kind of goes into like marketing perspective to be able to, especially those people that don't have insurances, that they can have a discount program. There's companies that do this as a living. You can print up your own cards and people like to be able to hold on to those things. But it's a great product and a great service to have as a startup, no matter what, if you're in network, out of network, or fee for service. Fee for service, obviously, like you're collecting your fees. Now, with fee for service and out of network, your marketing strategy needs to be beefier, usually on your marketplace. So if you're in a competitive area, fee for service and out of network, you need to be able to set yourself apart, and your ground marketing, all marketing, will need to be even more robust. Sometimes without a network and fee for service, your growth pattern may be a little bit slower just because you're building up your patient base a little bit slower. Again, it's a broad stroke of the brush, but this doesn't apply to everybody. But just in general, after 20 years, this is what I see. We have clients that have gone both paths of, any one of these paths, fee for service, out of network, and in network, and they all grow at different patterns. Sometimes the fee for service and out of network, because you're not participating, and if it's a competitive environment, be prepared to spend more and invest more into your marketing and to really be diligent about what is your scripting as far as how to communicate this properly to your patients as an advantage. Have a dental benefits plan that gives them a percentage of discount by paying, by paying cash and things like that, to be able to set yourself apart. So I'm not an advocate for one of those paths, one way or stronger than the other. But a lot of times, I'll just say this, it's already tough to start up a practice. It isn't easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it. And being in network sometimes gives you a little bit of that kind of that initial launch of like, okay, I'm in network with these best insurances. So if you're thinking about this, I would do some research on who your big employers in your marketplace. You can reach out to these HR departments of some of these larger employers and find out like, what are the insurances that they provide for their employees, and be able to go in network with those. That can obviously give you a little bit of a bump from day one as a startup. So big decision, but a decision that isn't a forever decision. Is it easier to start in network and then drop? Yes, than it is to start fee for service and out of network and then try to add, because then you're adding that time. So as a startup, I would, I'm always saying, what is the path of least resistance? How do you lower the barrier of entry for your patients? Obviously, it's being in network, but your marketplace also, depending on if there's not a lot of competition, you could be fee-for-service and out-of-network and find yourself in a very, very good place. One of the most confusing things I hear, TPAs, everyone heard of these? They're called third-party administrators. Sometimes they're referred to like umbrella policy. So there's these companies that say you get in network here, underneath here is all these other insurances. It gets really confusing because underneath those umbrella policies or these TPAs, those other insurance companies may not accept those particular fees. Yeah, I said that. So just because you get in with the main one at the top, it doesn't necessarily mean that all the ones that fall underneath of there follow that lead of that main company. And also, like, if you go out of, sometimes there are advantages, sometimes you don't want to use TPAs because maybe you can get a greater fee or a higher fee schedule by individually credentialing and going to network with one of those insurances or maybe a couple of those insurances that fall underneath one of those third-party administrators, one of those TPAs. The inverse could happen. One of our clients actually went out and thought, okay, this was, I don't want to beat up on our client, but he'd been open for a number of years, 4 or 5 years, and he went out of network thinking, if I go out of network of the TPA, I'm going to go directly to the insurance company that falls underneath that TPA. Maybe I'll get a greater increase on my fee, on his fee schedule. Unfortunately, it backfired. How did it backfire? At that point, he didn't get a greater fee schedule. And when he said, oh, okay, I'll go back into the TPA, then they didn't actually, that individual insurance company that fell underneath that TPA didn't pick him up. See how this gets really, really confusing? So when it comes to TPAs, I'll just say this. Again, back to like my number one topic when I talked about insurance credentialing is have somebody, because TPAs can get really super confusing. And you need to understand, just because the company that's name is on this TPA says you're credentialed, it doesn't necessarily mean that the ones that follow underneath of there are going to abide by the same fee schedule or even accept you depending on the amount of providers that are in that particular marketplace. So this was kind of a short, short and sweet episode, but I really wanted to talk through because insurance credentialing, as you can tell, is not just as simple as fill out some paperwork and like, okay, cool, you're ready to go. There's a lot of nuances to go into this process. And if you're going to go in network, you need to start this process around the time that you secure your real estate, because it could take 3, 4, 6 months and sometimes longer. Also, if you're going to have somebody negotiate, really understand, are they going to give you a lift and what you need to pay them for those negotiate? Because in other words, don't pay for negotiating if you're not going to get a lift. Make sure that there is a lift and make sure that the fee that this company is going to charge you is actually based upon a lift in your fee schedule. Because if not, there's no reason to pay for something that you don't get. And in some cases, that fee schedule you initially get might be the best one from the start. So that's a wrap on insurance credentialing. Don't forget to check the show notes for any links and resources that we talked about today. Next time, we are going to dive into the business of dentistry, how you become very confident as a business owner. I know you're making that transition from associate, and how you could build those skills to become more confident from a business perspective. I'll see you there. As we wrap up this episode, take a moment to picture yourself a year from now. Are you still in your associateship? Or are you rocking it at your own dental practice, creating beautiful smiles and making a real difference? If that's the dream, it's time to chase it. Before we split, make sure to hit subscribe, drop a review, and give us your rating. It helps us keep bringing you the good stuff that you're into. Until we meet again, keep taking that next step towards your future practice. Here's to investing in your dreams and making them a reality.